on 103.7 The Beat.
At the Rhythm Jams, 103.7 The People Station, Rob. It is a beautiful day outside. You got to love it, man. This is the kind of days we've been looking for, right?
You've been looking for, bro.
We haven't been looking for.
You know, I love the winter.
We haven't been looking for days where it's 90 degrees, clear outside.
I love the winter.
People are coming outside with the least amount of clothes on. People are happy. They happy, man.
I love the winter.
You love the wintertime. And you always do. You do love the winter. He's a he's a snowmobile type
guy. Ski guy, all that.
All the skiing. And, you know, that's what they do. Rob, people don't know Rob is a biker.
Very much so.
You look at him.
Unleashed riders.
And he have all the qualifications of a biker.
Unleashed riders.
And the other ones, too. You go to that, what's that bike convention y'all go to out there?
Bike Time.
Bike Time and the one where y'all go camping.
Huh?
Far away in North Dakota or South Dakota.
Oh, you talking about...
what's your bike festival you go to?
Come on, Rob.
You don't forget, man. Riding, you and your friends be riding. Anyway, man.
Wait a minute, I'm a fan.
You go to it, you know, you can't remember what it is. Anyway, over the weekend, of course, everybody know by now, the verdict in George Zimmerman trial. Some people are upset. Some people are happy. Some people could care less what happened. But it is a lot of outrage of what happened over the weekend. And last night, a good friend of mine, Montez Miller, had posted a song from an artist out of Chicago. He did a song about Trayvon Martin, but he actually had wrote the song last year, Big Rob. Mm-hmm. He wrote the song last year. It got over 20,000 views on YouTube. And we want to welcome to the show Daryl Duncan out of Chicago. How you doing today, Daryl?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
All right. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Good. Well, tell me a little bit about you, Daryl, because you wrote this song because it meant something to you personally. This is last year. It wasn't springtime of last year, right?
Absolutely. Around late March, early April.
And you are a single parent. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, I am. I'm a single parent of twin boys. And my main motivation for writing this song is quite simple. My sons are just 3 months younger than Trayvon was when he was killed. And I remember following this case and listening to it in the news. And one night I was coming home from a concert, and I heard the latest news report about the whole trial. I mean, not the trial, the non-issue of them not arresting Zimmerman initially. That was what was going on at the time,
uh-huh.
How they were trying to figure out why he wasn't arrested. And, you know, and listening to the details of that news report, I thought about my own kids, and I thought about that specific night of what Trayvon might have went through in terms of his fear, wondering who this guy was following him, just trying to figure out what was going on. And I was driving, I was motivated to just write the song, and I pretty much wrote most of it in the car on the freeway, and it was just a matter of me having to get back to my studio to kind of hash it all out and put it together. But my motivation was, you know, thinking about my own sons around the same age Trayvon was, and I wanted to write the song from a perspective of Trayvon speaking to the man who took his life, and that's the perspective of the song when you listen.
Wow! I tell you what, it's a very good song. What kind of reviews? What kind of comments have you gotten from this song?
You know, it's so interesting. I mean, I've gotten when I first put the song on YouTube. Of course, things had kind of died down by April or May of last year, and it was just waiting for things to progress. I mean, the trial wasn't even in the view at that point. But from the beginning, the comments were, the song has brought me to tears. And I was kind of surprised because I was getting those comments from not just women, but also men. And I can honestly say 8 out of every 10 comments that were posted were people saying the song brought me to tears. It, you know, it made me cry. I needed Kleenex. And it really is moving people in a very deep way, especially since the verdict has come about. You know, it's kind of brought it all painfully forward for everyone in their minds and in their hearts. And I'm getting so many people telling me, as a matter of fact, there's a Facebook page that a friend of mine posted the song to, and it's kind of really picked up a whole lot of steam there even before the verdict was read. And every one of them are saying, you know, that the song made them cry. And I wanted the song to make people think, to make people feel. I didn't particularly shoot for tears, but it is a very emotional song,
right,
especially right. Now that we know that the verdict is not guilty. It brings about a lot more emotions of a combination of anger and pain from this whole situation. And especially because the song is written from Trayvon's perspective, it feels like this is what Trayvon would say if he could speak to Zimmerman.
Wow. Daryl, what is your connection to Ceasefire?
Ceasefire, well, when I initially put together the song, a good friend of mine named Joan Colosso helped me secure the choir for it, which is the choir from New Faith Baptist Church in South Suburban Chicago. And she also put me together with Teal Hardiman, who at the time, he's no longer running that organization, but at the time he was heading up Ceasefire Chicago. And I wanted to make sure that some of the proceeds to the song actually I wanted to align myself with a prominent Ceasefire Stop the Violence type organization here in the city, because the song is not only dedicated to Trayvon, it's also for all the young lives cut short by violence. And ironically, and I do want to mention this interestingly, that while the song is available for sale on Amazon and iTunes, et cetera, I've made it available to everyone by giving everyone the link on YouTube. When I last checked TuneCore, where the song is registered, where the proceeds go, it was a total of $78, and that was not even a month ago. So this is not about the money, because it's about bringing people to the awareness of this whole violence issue, because as you know, in Chicago, it is out of control, and it has been for a long time now.
Wow.
So, but I wanted to align with
$78, man. I'm shocked, but there, you got over 20,000 views on YouTube and only $78?
Well, people are choosing to listen to it, but, you know, the whole buying it part is up to them. They can choose to buy it to support Ceasefire or support the cause, but it's not like you can't hear it if you don't buy it. I'm telling everyone the link, which is simply 18song.net. So if you go to www.18song.net, anyone who goes there can hear the song and listen to it and see the video. But if you choose to purchase the song and have it on your iPad or iPod or iPhone, it's a 99-cent purchase, and those proceeds, a portion of the proceeds, will go to Ceasefire. But again, as of yet, we haven't even cracked $100 on
wow.
on the purchase. Because again, and it's been made available to anyone to hear at no charge. So again, the purchase part is at your own discretion if you choose to donate.
Wow. Well, we're going to run to the song and come back and talk to you a little bit more, because you mentioned it, and it's very clear in the song. Title 18 is for kids out there who life was cut too short, and they didn't make it to 18. And 18 sound like a very small, short. It sounds like an achievable number. A lot of things happen when you're 18. You graduate. You're able to
right.
vote. You're able to go in the military. You kind of gain some kind of independence at 18. And a lot of our kids don't make it to 18.
They're not making it there. Absolutely.
And that's as a kid, that was my dream day. 18 was like my independence day. Even though I know I'm not really grown, I left home, but it was my independence day.
Right.
And to know that a lot of our youth and their dreams has been shattered, cut short because of senseless violence, that's a very significant number, man, and that's why I love this song. Are we going to play it? Can you hang online with me?
Absolutely, I'm here.
Okay, all right. Here's Daryl Duncan out of Chicago. It's called 18. Check it out, Muskegon's Afternoon Jam. Decided to drive at 5.
I was all alone, walking to my home. My minding my business, simply talking on the phone. How could I defend this? You're the only living witness to the very moment you decided you would end this. See, I ain't have no gun and I ain't have no weapon. You're claiming self-defense, but you were never threatened. Then you made the choice to cancel all my dreams. I never had a voice, now I won't see 18. I was never given the chance to grow up. Tell me, where's my 18? I didn't have the right to cut my life short. I deserve my 18. 'Cause there was a future I wanted to see, but you took that from me. I just want my 18. How was I suspicious with the hoodie on my head? Seeking shelter from the raindrops, but you wanted me dead. I tried to get away, but you kept right behind me. Candy in my pocket, but your pocket had a 9C. I ain't have no gun and I ain't have no weapon. Claiming self-defense, but you were never threatened. Then you made the choice to cancel all my dreams. Now I won't see.
Daryl Duncan, the song is called 18, dedicated to all the young kids of violence, victim of violence. It's cut too short, didn't make it 18. I like that song, Daryl, man. That is a hot, hot, hot track, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Wow. I appreciate that. I'm going to go buy it, man. I'm going to go online when we get done and go buy it and support it, because I support Ceasefire, very familiar with Ceasefire, and believe in what they're trying to do there, man.
And I wanted to clarify one thing. I realized I misspoke. Joan Colosso helped me put the choir together, but it was actually Monique Carradine who helped me connect with Teal Hardeman of Ceasefire. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. Now, tell me, man, what have you said to your kids, man? You got twin sons, and you wrote this song because you can relate to how Trayvon parents is feeling.
Well, you know what? I've kind of said the same thing to my children that I talk openly about it with them, and I feel that they would have reacted that night the same way Trayvon would have, because as far as I'm concerned, Trayvon didn't know who was following him. He thought he was being stalked for maybe to be robbed. He didn't know what it was, you know, and that could have happened to my sons too. At the point you run, and then you turn around and he's still there, you know. I just felt for the fear that Trayvon must have felt that night, and that's what I kept feeling when I was writing the song. You know, he didn't know what was happening. This guy didn't have a badge on or a uniform. You know, he had no official visual. No one visually could tell he was anything official. I mean, he wasn't, of course. He was a wannabe night watchman or whatever. Not even, you know, it was just it shouldn't have happened. It just when I think about it again, I get all upset about it because, again, it could have been anyone's child. Mm-hmm. And Trayvon acted the same way I think that any child would have when he was being followed that night. Well, you know, what is this guy trying to do to me? You know, and it's just... I still can't believe this verdict that's come about.
Right, Darryl, when did you think your son would get this kind of attention?
No, I didn't. I really didn't. I wrote the song. I went in the studio. I spent my own money, paid for the choir and the studio and everything. This was about this was me getting out what I felt. This was you know, my emotions put the song, so to speak. And trying to give Trayvon a voice, you know. You know, of course, there are many that believe that the song is not accurate or, you know, and I've gotten the negative comments as well as the positive, of course.
What kind of negative comments did you get?
Well, if you look at the YouTube page, you'll see a couple of the comments where people have said, well, you weren't there, you don't know what Trayvon did. What Trayvon did, and... George Zimmerman had a right to defend himself, you know, those type of comments. And some are even more vile and more hateful, but I won't even repeat those over the air. I ignore those. But even the argument that Zimmerman was in the right in any way, you know, how do you stalk someone, pick a fight, you know, and you lose the fight and then you shoot him, basically.
Right.
I mean, that's what it came down to, in my opinion, because if he did what the police told him, we don't need you to follow anyone. We'll handle it. You know, that seemed to be ignored during the trial for me, how he ignored the police, you know.
Right.
And people say, well, that wasn't the police. Well, if I'm not mistaken, in Chicago, the 911 dispatchers are police, if I'm not mistaken. You know, I mean, they're in enough of an official capacity to tell you not to follow someone, you know.
Right. Wow. Could you give out the website for people that want to go to the website and find out more about your music?
Absolutely. And this website, not only will you have a variety of options to download the song for purchase if you want, you can listen to it for free right there. But most importantly, I have a link there that says My Inspiration, which will tell everyone in a couple paragraphs what inspired me to write the song. And the website is really simple. It's 18song.net. So you just go to www.18song.net. And that'll get you to the page with the video and the other information, 18song.net.
And now, on another note, we're seeing rapid violence, even in your community, Chicago, Philadelphia, Detroit. It seems
right.
to be that there are a lot of little Trayvons out there who are not making it to 18 at the hands of people who look just like them, and it's not racially motivated. What can you say about that, that violence, that sickness that is happening within the black community?
Yeah, it's one of the issues that I'm very passionate about, and I actually talk about it quite a bit on my own personal Facebook page. But this may not be the popular opinion. I know there are people that share my opinion, but I believe it has everything to do with parenting.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about the racial issues and the no jobs in the community and the drugs that are flowing into the community and the, you know, the lack of adequate policing of the community. But for me, it comes down to parenting, because I just think that we are seeing the manifestation of poor parenting from 15, 20 years ago. Kids having kids, you know, parents not done being teenagers themselves and letting grandparents or uncles and other people raise these children. I think that if we can get back to some hardcore, serious, responsible parenting, we could address this issue. And it's going to take, just as long as it took to get this bad, it's going to take this long to heal it. But if we got to start somewhere. But my personal belief is, and it sounds like an oversimplified solution, but parenting is the issue. You know, you need to know what your kids are doing, where they are, who they're hanging with. For me, parenting is the issue.
Now, you are a single father. We're talking to Darryl Duncan. He wrote the song 18, dedication to Trayvon Martin, to all the other victims who did not live to see the 18th birthday. How did you become a single father, if you don't mind sharing?
Sure. My sons were actually born triplets. I had They were born in 1995, in July 1st, 1995, and they were actually born triplets. And I was married for 23 years. I'm newly divorced. I've been divorced for just over 2 years now. And I got custody of my sons, and it's just that simple. My greatest achievement in life is parenting. I love being a father. Matter of fact, my kids go off to college next month. Wow. And I'm not sure what I'm going to do with the empty nest, to be honest with you, because I've worked from home all of their life, and my kids were homeschooled from kindergarten.
They were homeschooled. So wow.
My kids were homeschooled. So we've always been together 24/7. And they've done well in high school. My one son is going to be studying psychology, and my other son is actually going to be studying astrophysics.
Wow.
So I'm very proud of them. And as I might add, they both got full ride scholarships to college as well. So, but they're going to be leaving me soon. So I'm going to just dive myself back into my music, write some more songs, and see where things go from there.
So when you wrote the song, you were putting your heart. You imagined yourself being Sabrina Fulton and the parents
absolutely.
Of Trayvon. Wow.
Absolutely, I did. Because I actually would have a couple dreams of what Trayvon was actually dealing with that specific moment, figuring out that someone is following him. I mean, no one in a million years would have thought this is the night watchman responsible for watching the neighborhood, and he might think I'm up to no good. Let me just pull my hoodie down and say, hey, it's me. I live here. I'm okay. That's not the first thing that comes to your mind. When you see, someone is pursuing you in the darkness, in the rain,
right.
The first thing that comes to your mind is he means you harm. He's up to no good. It's just ridiculous. My motivation was I felt Trayvon's fear that night, and I know my sons would have been just as fearful. And at a point when you realize that you're running and you're not quite getting away from them, you got to turn around and say, what the heck is going on? Why are you following me? And, of course, from the start, Zimmerman assumed that Trayvon was some hoodlum criminal there to burglarize someone. So with that mentality, with that already established in Zimmerman's mind, everything that happened from there on, nothing good could come from that.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. Tell me, what do your sons mean to you? You know what I mean? What does that mean? What do your kids mean to you?
Well, it's quite simple. I mean, I'll take a bullet for my sons any day of the week. So, and my kids are my life. I mean, I've done everything for them that I could. I've tried my best to be the best father that I could. And my kids are actually my best friends. I mean, we hang out, we do things, we go places. But I still know when, where, and how to put my foot down and be that disciplinarian or that father. But we get along just great, you know. Of course, we have them just turning 18 a month, 3 weeks ago, we have our spats and tiffs at times, you know, because they're teenagers, and that's part of the territory. But we have an understanding. They know when and where, to be and not to be, when to cross the line, how to pick their friends. You know, they actually despise sagging more than I do, you know. So I've done what I could to make sure they didn't fall into some of the negatives of our community that will stereotype them a certain way. I try my best to make sure that they rose above that, and they pick their friends carefully, because peer pressure is a powerful thing. So if I can overcome what they're going to be dealing with in the street or on the street or at school, then that's what I've tried to do. So I think my boy's on the right track. I'm proud of them both. They've got excellent grades, and they've earned scholarships to college. And but they mean everything to me. And my friends have told me, well, the empty nest, they don't really ever go forever. But, having been with your sons since the day they were born, when my kids were born, I did the Mr. Mom thing for the first year, because my wife at the time was working. I did the whole feeding, burping, changing, the whole thing. I mean, I wanted to be a father since I was 14 years old, and I didn't have kids till I was 33. So it's my most important job and most proudest achievement in my whole life,
outside of
my career.
And I wanted to mention your career, because we've been humble. We haven't talked about your career
at
all. But I got to mention it, because you've done a lot of stuff. You just know why, who just landed here and decided to do a Trayvon, a Martin dedication. Muskegon. Daryl has written and produced for many music industry notables such as Michael Jackson, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Chaka Khan, Jeffrey Osborne, Shawnice Wilson, Barry White, Young MC, Sharon Bryant, Don Lewis, EU, Vesta, Keisha Jackson, The Silvers, Howard Johnson, Jerry Butler, O'Brien. You have also did songs, 7 or 10 songs of the R. Kelly first project. And you got a long credentials. You've done jingles, national jingles with Toyota, Miller Beer, Walmart, Illinois State Lottery, Volkswagen. You are a very, very successful producer. You got staff.
I've been in the game for a while.
You got staff there. You're doing it. And so you just nobody who just came on the scene. I'm excited to do a Trayvon Martin song. You did it because this is what you do, but your heart was there, and I'm glad you was able to get your testimony, man.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I've been in the music business professionally since I was 19. I was a staff writer for Warner Brothers and A&M Records in California for 8 years. And then I transitioned out of the mainstream music industry after having worked with or produced a lot of the people you just mentioned. And I got into the video game industry. I did the music and sound effects for John Madden Football for 3 years. And Microsoft Zoo Tycoon, I did the music and sound effects for those games. And then I transitioned once again into where I am now, which is where I prefer to be, which is in the advertising field. My company now does music and sound effects for a lot of TV and radio commercials, and that's currently, you know, how I make my living. But, this Trayvon Martin song came about. It was a personal project, a personal mission for me to create something that would speak to this whole issue and what Trayvon might have been going through and what he could or would have said to the man who took his life. So it was a labor of love for me and just something that I spent my own dollars on to get done because I heard the song in my head and I wanted to make it a reality.
Right.
Right, exactly.
Wow. I want to thank Montez Miller, who always seems to hook me up with
money.
Money hooks us up with big time folks, man. She don't.
Yeah, thank you, Montez.
Yeah, she's traveling today. I want to thank my sister for doing that. Hopefully you can send me some more of your music. I know you're probably working with some artists in Chicago and throughout the world. You know, you just ain't no Chicago brother. You international. You know, you do songs for R. Kelly and Karen, Michael Jackson, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and all these folks I just named.
I produced R. Kelly's first album, but it was unreleased. This was an album on PolyGram. I actually got R. Kelly in a group that I had put together on PolyGram back in 91. We put together an entire album, recorded the album, did the photo shoot, and it ended up the album did not get released. And Rob went on, or R. Kelly went on to sign a solo contract elsewhere, and the rest is history.
Right.
But, Rob is a tremendous talent, and it's great to work with him.
Right, so you know him as Rob, see?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know him as Rob.
All right, man.
I know him as Rob.
How can people, they want to check out your company. Can you give them the website to your company? Because you gave me the music website. You don't mind giving out your company website, do you?
No problem. My company website, well, I have two companies. One is called Game Beat Studios, and that's the division that does a lot of the music for video games. And that website is www.gamebeatstudios.com. GameBeatStudios.com.
Okay.
Now, my other company is called Flow Corporate Audio Group, and that's the division that does the music for TV and radio advertising. And that's the Flow Corporate Audio Group website is simply www.flowcag.com, FLOWCAG.com. And those are the two companies. And, of course, the 18song.net is where you can hear the Trayvon Martin song.
Wow. Thank you, man, for making our time impressive, man, there, to hear your story about raising your kids,
Thank
twins.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah.
Man, that's...
Having me,
man, it's my honor, man. That's real to hear the story. With you now, and you homeschooled him while you were working. I know that was hard.
Well, I got to give props to my ex-wife. She did the main homeschooling. I call myself the principal. You know,
wow.
Well, you're talking to some PA. He knows a lot about being a single parent. He raised two girls.
I had two girls. So
okay.
As a single
they wasn't twin, but they was 1 year apart. So
okay, I think girls are a little tougher than boys. So
well,
I
yeah, they are.
They give you a run for it.
Yeah.
Especially when you got a tight, daddy and a military daddy like me.
There you go.
The first answer is no. It's always no.
It's when you start when they start to negotiate.
No, right. Is required.
Right. Until we can debate on yes. You got to prove to me why it should be yes. But the first answer by default is no.
And see, my biggest thing is I got four boys and one girl. Four of them. I got all three of them were. Matter of fact, my son, he's out there now. He just graduated with a bachelor's degree in criminal law. And my other two sons are currently in college.
All of them in college. Yeah.
All my children are in college except my little girl and my little boy. So I understand the pride that you must feel your children going off to college. It becomes more of a headache, though. I mean, you talking about them leaving the nest. They ain't going nowhere, trust me. You're going to get Skype and all that stuff. They're going to be on your head more than what they are now.
But Darryl, I want to thank you, man, and play your song again. And let's keep in contact, please.
Absolutely. You got my information. Contact me anytime, and I'll send you some links to some of my other work if you're interested in hearing.
Yes, definitely. We're going to play the song again. It's called 18, a dedication to Trayvon Martin and to the kids, man, who life is cut too short out there. And believe me, it's happening all over this continent, all over this country, United States, and particularly in our community. Kids are not reaching 18, and that is frightening to think of that.
Yeah. You
know,
I marked that on my calendar when I was like 12 years old. I can't wait to be 18, and kids are not making it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Darryl, man. I'm going to play your song. God bless you, brother, okay?
Thank you. My pleasure. Talk with you soon.
All right. All right. Take care.
All right.
It's The Drive
at 5
with PA on 103.7 The Beat. 103.7 The Beat.
Walking to my home, minding my business, simply talking on the phone.